This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only 6 numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these 6 numbers, 785-833.
Finally, I just come unglued and was like, I'll tell you what the f*** is happening. I'm 30 years old. I got nothing going on. All my buddies are buying their second trucks. I'm stuck on a houseboat with you cats eating crappie every 2 days. I'm exhausted.
Episode 436 with brothers Dan and Reed Isbell, which, by the way, they're songwriters, they're podcasters. I had a lot of fun doing this one. This one, to me, seemed pretty easy and pretty fun because I just enjoyed the guys. And I can kind of lean back a little bit and let them do some of the work too, because they're also funny. So just songwriting wise, they co-wrote The Kind of Love We Make with Luke Combs. Dan had Better Together, Love You Anyway with Luke Combs. Reed had John Party's Mr. Saturday Night. They have this podcast called God's Country. And so they, you know, talk about country music and the outdoors, and you'll hear a lot more about it here. But I don't know. I didn't know these guys, and I really found myself enjoying just hanging out and talking, because we weren't talking about anything specific. Even we talked about them a little bit, but then it just turned into, let's just kind of address things that are happening now. And I like those kind of podcasts.
Yeah. And it felt like we knew them already. That's how like friendly they were. Did we go to high school together?
And when I start to like bust their balls, or, you know, some of the stuff when I'm talking about podcasting, and that just, it just felt like we had known each other, worked together for a long time.
Yeah.
So I thought it was super cool. This is one of the most, like, I have fun other times, and sometimes they're not that fun because I'm so in my own head about not doing a bad job. Like, there are some people that come in and I'm like, oh man, I don't want to screw this one up. So I don't know that I have fun until it's over. This one actually had fun while I was doing it. So the God's Country podcast, check it out. I think you're going to like these guys. Go subscribe to their podcast after this if it interests you. And we'll do episode 436 right now, Dan and Reed Isbell and the God's Country podcast. Here you go. So have we decided that we're going to wear one headphones?
Oh, I can. I don't care.
No. If you want to wear them, wear them.
Have no clue.
It's just if you're not going to, you're not going to miss anything.
No, I'm just saying how my volume.
If you stay at that level and not screaming like you did a minute ago,
yeah,
it feels pretty good.
I might get excited, Bobby.
Like a minute ago, I sounded like you're doing like Screamo podcast.
Yeah. Cheeky, cheeky, chow, chow.
See, that's not bad.
That wasn't bad.
We're good. Mike's not bad.
The other one, though.
We were, yeah, if it gets out of control, we'll escort you out.
Chilling.
With our
phone is serious.
Yeah, our read. Yeah, I use that. It's like a Bob Barker. You know who that is?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. You're younger than I am.
Yeah, dude. I know Bob, BB.
But he would do the thin microphone on the Price.
It was
right.
Even thinner, though.
It was
super thin with that.
It is kind of Bob Barker.
It's very,
R.I.P.
What
really.
Was the show? What's that show that
he died?
Drew?
Bob Barker, yeah. Did he?
Recently?
Last year?
I'm sure we talked about it. I just don't remember who dies and who doesn't die anymore.
He died in 99.
Tell me. Talk.
You're out of your mind.
In 99?
He was 99 years old.
Oh, got it. Like, dang. Betty White.
Dead.
See you.
Like, it makes
Bobby,
sense.
Bobby, where you been, bro?
I've been everywhere. That's why.
Oh, yeah.
it's not that I've been nowhere. It's that there's just so much stimuli all the time.
Agreed.
That I don't.
I feel that.
That it's hard for me to sit with stuff and go, oh, yeah. Who else has died recently?
She was also 99.
Has anyone hit 100 that we care about?
Nah, they get close and then.
Betty White was like 10 days away from her.
Yeah, Betty White was real close. Yeah. Who is that? Whose wife is that? Manager, oh, that's your manager. Oh. Manager.
I was like, I have no clue. Betty White's husband. No. I was like, I have no idea.
One of you guys, I heard you say that's your wife and manager, but you said manager and wife.
Yeah.
And I met her. Jordan? I met her over there.
Yeah,
and,
two O's. Jordan.
Jordan.
Oh, do people call you Jordan, too, because it's spelled like that?
I call her Big Don.
Yeah.
The Don.
Teflon Don.
What are you... I got a bunch of stuff to talk about. I want to talk about the podcast. I want to talk about the music that eventually led to the podcast. But... what was the story you were going to tell me before we started? And I was like, well, hold off a second. If it's good. Because you told me like five bad stories in a row. And if I was like, it's one of those, just keep going. But it was, you were like, no, this one's good for a change.
I didn't say it was necessarily that good.
No, go ahead.
It's not good.
Pressure. Hey, everybody, get ready. It's all the right. Best story we heard.
Great story. Let's go.
Get ready for a great story.
All I was asking about was, I was going to ask you if you knew about Wilson, Arkansas. Do you know where that is?
Where?
Just above Memphis, probably 45 minutes on the far side.
No. I lived in from Arkansas, played ball in Arkansas, but I guess we didn't go. Jonesboro's about furthest right we went.
This is like Duck World. Like it's on the Mississippi River right there. We were just there a couple weeks ago, and it's the craziest.
Duck hunting?
Yeah. Correct.
On somebody's lease?
Yeah.
Well, somebody's property?
Yeah. So we were going up through there, and all of a sudden, this little town pops out of nowhere. I mean, literally, it's like highway for a long time. Nothing. Town pops up. Like super nice,
the nicest little spot you'll ever like see.
High school. Then there was like this random mega nice gym in the middle of a field with not even a parking lot.
So all the duck hunting money is there.
Well, turns out it's one guy owns the whole town.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And he's is his name Wilson?
Yeah, I think his last name is.
No way.
That'd be hilarious.
I don't think it is.
Maybe I just made that up.
Anyway, our brother-in-law, we have another brother-in-law, just texted us and was like, dude. Found out the scoop on Wilson, Arkansas. It's one guy. He's like some bazillionaire. Lives in Nashville. Just owns town.
Lives in Nashville, too.
There's do you know what a Michelin restaurant is?
I do, yeah.
I didn't.
Well, and did you know that the actual tire company is?
I learned all that when I went to this Wilson Cafe in Wilson.
They have a Michelin starred.
Five star.
Bro, five. It's like
no way. There's no way.
Somewhere
check
look
it,
that
check,
up.
Fact Jumps, check it.
There's no way Wilson, Arkansas has a five. I don't think anybody in Arkansas is five star.
Unless somebody was lying. They said it was the nicest. It was nicer than any restaurant
in
Tennessee.
I'm looking it up right now.
Okay, well, that could be a two star Michelin. I mean, the Michelin stuff.
I'm pretty sure they said five.
Like, I'd go to places in Vegas that were way expensive, way good, and they'd be like, this is a 2.5 star.
No. I'm just saying, if they got us, I mean, like, we went to that place thinking, like, we were in sweatpants.
Yeah, I was in sweatpants and mud boots because we didn't know. I mean, you're going to duck camp. You don't think you're going to some five star Michelin?
I don't think you did though.
Okay, we
got lied to.
What's it called? Do you know what it's called?
Wilson Cafe.
There's no way because to have a
it does come up when you Google Wilson Cafe Michelin.
Okay, but to have a five star, or even to get one star, two star, three star, you have to have like a Michelin chef. What Michelin chef's going to live in Wilson,
bro?
I think it's just a Mitchell star. I think it's Mitchell.
Mitchell.
It's a throwing star. Now,
you guys have been had.
We're all on the same team here. No, I'm telling you. We were like.
Well, then our friends are liars.
Maybe they were lied to.
That's a good point.
But Mike, would you look up a five-star Michelin restaurant, though, just period, in the United States? Because if it had a Michelin star, that's a massive deal itself.
They were saying this place was like more, like better than any restaurant in Tennessee.
That's what I said. I said that. And then we ate there.
Well, fine. It's fine. Yeah. Was it super expensive?
See, I feel like I'm just smashing.
You didn't pay for it.
A little tiny.
No.
That's what you were saying to me, but like, don't do it.
You can't build it. Can't build it up. And you guys, what made it not good is they built it up to you. I bet if you went to it and you were like, there's a restaurant in Wilson, Arkansas, it'd be freaking awesome.
I'm not going on the record saying it's bad. It was really good. It was probably
It can't live up to a five-star expectation, though. It's like movies. When somebody's like, this is the greatest movie ever. Even if it's awesome, I'll be like, meh. It was overhyped.
That's a solid
point. We've never eaten any. I don't even know what Michelin was, so I didn't really go in expecting it to be just out of this world.
Yeah. Mike, what do you have?
I went to the official website that has every restaurant listed. There are 16,000 Michelin star restaurants in the United States. There are zero in Wilson, Arkansas.
Okay.
Any in Arkansas at all?
Let's see.
Because I would think there would be less than three, if any.
I also want to know what the very top one is, like the best Michelin restaurant.
Let's see if I can search just
what if it's like the Michelin Tire Center? They just give themselves that with like
they just got one ship,
like a concession stand, though. It's not even good, but they get to give themselves 5 stars because
they're just eating sausage biscuits.
They own the brand.
Yeah. Microwave.
Yeah. Does it?
You can only search by city.
Look up Little Rock.
Little Rock has none.
Yeah, then we're not going to look up Nashville.
Nashville doesn't have one.
I'm telling you, it's so rare. When you guys are like Wilson, Arkansas.
They were,
I called Jordan and I was like, hey, we're going to like a Michelin restaurant.
She was like Michelin star?
Well, that's what I said when you said that too. I was like, in the whole state, I couldn't believe we had one.
So much so that they gave us the same story you did about it being the Michelin tire shop. Yeah. They gave us that whole rundown about this. That's
like maybe they have five Michelin tires in the back and we're a five.
Could have been a Michelin tire shop before. Yeah,
it once was a Michelin tire shop that is now a cafe.
The star of
now
Wilson.
It's coming together.
The star.
Five wheels, star wheels, five Michelin wheels.
Five spoke wheels.
So, yeah, that I like that story because of where we took it.
Thanks for cleaning it up.
Yeah, it made it way better. That was not a good story.
No.
It went somewhere good.
Itself, as a story itself.
It started down here, but
fine, but you needed a real pro like me to make it special.
That was not a Michelin star story, but it was.
I never said anything about that being
the closest one to us is in Atlanta.
The only Michelin star restaurant?
What is it?
Then how are there 16,000 Michelin star restaurants if there's none in the area?
Yeah, they're just all in New York.
A lot of them are clustered in like bigger cities.
They are, yeah. Like a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Is there one in Sydney?
But this is only America.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Like Sydney, Tennessee? Is that like Wilson, Arkansas?
There's definitely not a Sydney.
I misread 1600.
Okay. That's still a lot, but way different than 16,000.
Man, I hope those duck guys don't listen to this. They're going to be real sad.
They don't.
Nah, they probably don't.
They don't. Well, they might. They from Arkansas?
Well, it's the Davis brothers. Oh, well, Jordan didn't go, but Jacob was with us.
Yeah, Jacob Davis was there.
Yeah, I know.
But he wasn't like the duck guy that told us about the thing. He was just kind of there with us.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
Probably Jordan told you guys that.
Probably liar.
So you guys are brothers?
Our whole lives.
What's the age gap?
Yes.
Who's older?
I heard you make a comment earlier of me cheating because you said you're the big brother.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wait.
No, you can say that. It's fine. It's a podcast.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So I heard you say you're older, but I don't know that I would have bet it either way.
People usually guess him for some weird reason.
What's the
hotter,
four? Oh, that's a pretty significant gap.
Yeah,
My sister's 4 years younger than I am, and it feels like she's a whole different generation.
Well, we're bookended by girls, too, like sisters. So we got my oldest sister's 4 years older than him, then he's 4 years older than me, then I'm 4 years older than my younger sister. So,
So big jump. 16 years of kids?
12.
Wait, four, then four.
16, bro.
Well, now hold on. 4 times 4, but that doesn't mean the three gaps are.
The gap's 12.
So let's say the oldest is 4 to you, then you get 4 to your other, and they get 4. Yeah, you're right.
Thanks.
But the easy thing to go is, because I did the same thing initially, 4 times 4, but the gaps. Gotcha.
Right. Are you a math guy?
It was my lowest ACT part of my test. I had to take ACT where I'm from.
Same.
Okay.
What did you score?
Most overall, 31.
But, dang, you're a genius.
But no, my math wasn't. I got 28. It was the lowest of all my stuff.
Come on, bro. What'd you make?
I don't know, man. I made a 22 and went to Mississippi State. I was like, never took it again.
26.
Yeah, but 26 is really good. Yeah,
I'm smart.
Oh, 20, come on, 31.
20, but 20, listen, 23, 24 gets you like in-state paid tuition wherever you want to go. For me, I made a 20 whatever enough to get that one in like ninth grade because I just knew that that's how I had to get out of my hometown, right? Mm. So I started taking the practice tests and taking the class. I would go to work and save up and take the classes to take the test. Oh, wow. So I didn't learn really anything. I just learned how to take the freaking test.
Mm.
And I think I'm bright a bit, but you guys know.
Which is part of it. That's like
absolutely.
The ones that score really well are just really good. I mean, I'm sure they're genius too, but like, yeah, you got to know how to take the test.
Like life.
Time and all that.
You know, you could be a great singer, but unless you actually know how to sing and know who to get your singing to and know who to produce it, you know.
What are you talking about?
Exactly. You could be the greatest in the world, but if you don't know how to set it up.
Or possibly the greatest writer in the world.
So is that you? The greatest writer that?
That what?
That has less than 20 number ones?
I don't know. Don't think so.
But you brought it up.
I thought
you were trying to get me to set you up.
Bro, you got to bet on yourself.
I bet on myself, but I'm not going to say I'm the greatest that's less than 20 number ones.
I'll say that. I'm the greatest that's less than 20.
That is a giant That is a plethora of songwriters in this town.
Really great.
I thought you were setting me up to set you up, though. That's what I was feeling, that like we're playing pickup. We hadn't played ever before, but I could kind of feel like the ball was coming. And so I guess I didn't. The ball hit me in the face.
Well, my granddad always said, let somebody else do the bragging for you. So
I just literally tried.
You tried to set me up to do the bragging on me.
He put a compliment up, and then you just, you rejected it at the rim.
Where'd you guys grow up? What town? What's the name of the town?
Savannah, Tennessee.
So again,
right where, and I always told people this, right where Alabama, Mississippi, and Tennessee meet.
Do they have a name? Because in Arkansas, Texas, we call it Texarkana or Arklatex when it's Louisiana. Do they?
Arklatex?
That's stupid. I don't call. I didn't name it that. Okay. It's a 3-star name though, three Michelin stars. But it's Ark, LA, Louisiana Tech. Arklatex is what that's. But so what? Do they have a name for that region?
No.
It should be Tennessee, Bama.
That would never work.
Bama, Mississippi.
Everybody would fight over who's first.
Bama, Mississippi.
Tennessee, Bama's pretty good.
Feel like Mary Poppins songs.
Bama, Mississippi.
Mississippi,
Bama's not bad. That's kind of got a ring.
There's no Tippy, though.
Mississippi, the Tennessee.
But Tippy.
Tennessee, Bama.
Mississippi, Bama.
You got to start with Bama because that's the weird one.
Mississippi, Bama.
Bama, Tennessee. That's a good one.
Said all these.
Maybe you just did a little flick and you scanned this part of the podcast first. We are speaking English.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're really wrecking it right now.
Yeah.
In the best
it's
way.
It's a little river town, man. We're river rats. Right on the Tennessee River. Pickwick Lake, we're real close to that. That's where we grew up.
So I grew up in Mountain Pine, Arkansas, and really all there was to do, which is why everybody did it, was hunting fish, basically.
Yeah.
Unless you wanted to go to town, but town was Hot Springs, and that was 30,000 people, so it wasn't like a city.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what most folks did their whole life, and I did it my whole life until I didn't do it anymore, and I'm just like, I can pay for food. I don't want to kill any animals. Also, I'm like, I don't want to kill any animals anymore. All my friends still hunt like crazy. Although duck hunting, I'd probably kill some ducks.
Yeah.
Because duck hunting is the most fun because it's the most, when you finally hear, when they're coming over the top of you, and everybody's claiming they shot it, and you know for sure that Reed didn't shoot the thing, still, that's fun. And if you have a good dog.
Dog elevates it.
And if you have a good dog, Other than that, I'm good.
Duck hunting's real social, too. Like, it's like, I mean, you can cook biscuit or breakfast in there. You know, you can have.
I guess you guys had to travel to duck hunt, though, right?
I mean, West Tennessee, it's only a couple hours.
Really?
Yeah, it's not that far.
We didn't have, we could go over to Eastern Arkansas where the timbers were flooded and do.
Oh, yeah,
where
you're
you
all
guys
up in
that's
it
the flower.
Right there.
Yes.
That's the jam.
Or we could, we had. You know, a semblance of that where I lived, so we wouldn't really have to travel, so it didn't feel very social. It just felt like what we would do, just be there when the sun comes up, pray to God you don't fall in and water get in your waders.
Yeah.
It was like those days.
Yeah, for sure.
And then go home. But duck hunting was my favorite.
See, we didn't grow up doing that. We were all turkey and deer. That's all we did our
you
entire.
Still hunt or stand? Dog hunt?
No dogs. It's actually illegal to
run dogs in Tennessee.
Run dogs.
It is?
Yeah.
That's how little I know about hunting now.
I mean,
you
can rabbit hunt with dogs, but I mean, you can't deer
really?
Hunt with dogs. Yeah, they've outlawed it. Because what ended up happening was you'd have people that would turn their dogs loose on their property, but the deer would jump, obviously, because he don't know fence lines. So he would jump.
Arkansas ones did, though. They're way smarter than Tennessee ones.
Oh, they'd stand.
Yeah, Arkansas deer knew what the land plots were.
ACT, yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah.
They probably took the ACT pretest. But yeah, we hunted and fished our whole lives, and it intermingled with, our music and
our dad's a Baptist preacher, so we were always like in church singing and hymns and my parents love music. My mom's a big Elvis fan. Her mom was a big Elvis fan. Then my dad loved the Doobie Brothers and all that. And
West Tennessee, though.
I like how you say my dad. Like he's not my dad too.
Well, I didn't know. I don't know if you guys
you have
different
headphones
dads.
On. I can't same hear dad. What you're saying.
Yeah.
Same dad.
You have West Tennessee. That's Elvis land, not I'm talking about Mississippi.
Yeah.
Well, and where we're from, Savannah, like you had Memphis 2 hours east
mm-hmm.
or west. Nashville was 2 hours northwest or northeast. I'm terrible with that location.
Yeah, you're messing.
And
up.
Then the Shoals are real close. So I mean, like you had like a hodgepodge, of
sure.
a bunch of influence and different styles of music.
And I think
that
a lot
got there.
I think a lot of writers from that area take Singleton, who's one of our best buddies, Jonathan Singleton, Jesse Alexander, and all those cats that are kind of from that area. Kind of do that, like it's a little bit of there's a little bit of rockabilly in there, there's a lot of soul, and then there's a lot of country.
There's a lot of black influence, more than just influence. Like,
absolutely.
Like country music is built on black artistry and European artistry.
I mean, I would say almost music period is
yeah.
built on that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you talk about even Elvis, like, let's be honest.
Let's be honest.
He watched a lot of really great black artists.
He's imitating a lot.
And just did impressions.
Absolutely.
Sure
and,
did.
And was good
was
at
told
it.
Not to.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, man.
But that's a great place to live for music.
Yeah, we didn't even know it. But honestly, there was four, you know, we had two other siblings. So our sister was an alto. Our baby sister did some soprano stuff. I was like a baritone, and Reed was a way high tenor.
Everybody sang. Is that true?
So everybody sang.
They can all sing. They we're do, probably two of the worst.
We sang all the time.
My parents don't really, but they
because there would be 45 minutes of singing every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. And so we would be in those. I mean, it was our dad, man. We heard that Joker talk so much, you just kind of get tired of like listening to him, right? So we would start swapping parts in the sitting in the pew with our mom. And it just taught us natural harmony, and it really ingrained a lot of those melodies into us and kind of translates into what we do now.
Hang tight. The Bobbycast will be right back.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct-to-consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com.
Tecovas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for four lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with four lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, to take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833.
And we're back on the Bobbycast.
So, is nature or nurture then? As far as it sounds like your family is performers, at least. I mean, your dad, to be a really effective Baptist preacher, somebody who grew up in the Baptist church, the best preachers were also great performers.
I would also say storytellers. He's very good. When in our family, that's all they do. Like, we get together for Easter or Christmas, and it's just who's telling the next story and what's dramatic. And that just kind of became our, you know, MO as far as songwriters. Like, we just wanted to tell stories. Music was mixed into that a whole lot. We were both kind of into English and writing and expression, and it just kind of fell out.
When could you guys actually be friends? Like peers, because 4 years is a long time when you're kids. Like, that's a pretty decent gap.
Yeah, and I was always huge, and he was like tiny. Like, for a long time, he was like this tall. So, I would
this
like.
This true story.
I would like, he would. Okay, for example, one time.
That's not a true story. He did 3 inches.
That's not. I mean, well, one time.
Sure, but you didn't know him then.
I didn't know him
then.
Yeah.
Go
ahead. But I had a feeling he was going to be a jerk. So, I remember I came in from school one day and I was looking out the window and Reed and a neighbor were jumping on the trampoline, right? And like I said, dude, I was probably.
My dad says Dan came out needing a shave and a sandwich.
Yeah. He said my sister came out all pretty and then I came out needing a shave and a sandwich. So I've just always been like this, right? So I look out the window and I see our neighbor. Did he kick you in the throat?
I don't know. He jumped up and then
they were jumping on the trampoline.
I went black.
And all of a sudden it was like, pow! He just karate kicks him in the face. And it was like, nobody can kick my brother in the face except me, man. You know, if I want to kick him in the face, I can do that, but you can't. And it was just like an instant fire kind of run, and I jumped back, and I had his arms across his body, and I was rearing back. And Reed's, like, tiny little mini hand was like, no, you know, and like, don't hit him. And so, but that was how it always was for a long time. And then when he got to be probably in high school, and I was in college, you know, I went to Mississippi State, and he was doing his thing back at home, and we just became buddies, and he grew a little bit. And
got a little taller so you could accept him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, but I always beat him and everything, even when I was small. Like, I whipped his ass in
everything,
every driveway basketball game we ever had. But as far back as I can remember, bro, it's been like this.
You did punch me in the face twice.
So you guys
only
were
one that ever punch me in the face.
More than the dynamic of big brother taking care of little brother, you were like buds. 14 and 10.
Oh, no, I can't say that.
No, I wouldn't say. I mean, it was still like, it was very brotherly.
Yes.
You know, like it wasn't best friend.
High school, college then got really, really cool. And then college. So when you finished high school, what'd you do?
I stayed in town for a year and then I went to UT Knoxville, failed physics twice, called him, was like, hey, I don't really know what to do with my life. He was like, bro, move to Nashville.
So what had you done by the time he graduated high school?
Well, I was in a band and our band actually started getting some looks up here. I didn't know we were getting looks.
Name of the band?
Soul Gravy.
Okay.
So we were kind of a funk, once again, we're like a funk country thing we could do. And we started popping off in Mississippi and doing that little SEC kind of circuit, you know. And we were actually on the road with guys like Brantley, Corey Smith was out a lot. And there was a bunch of other cover bands. But there were some guys that really turned into, you know, legit stars that we were kind of with. And so we were getting the look. I think we were a little probably out of the commercial box necessarily at the time. You know, now we would probably fit right in. But we started getting looks and came up here and we're hanging out with riding with guys. Leslie Roberts over at BMI started hooking me up with Rhett and Red Akins, some of those dudes. And I built up a little catalog and I recognized that I could get a deal if I had good enough songs. That took a super long time. I went and met with Sony. I wrote a song with Randy Montana that got picked up by Luke Bryan at the time. And they were like, oh my gosh, let's sign him real quick, you know? And so.
Picked up as in put on hold or he cut it?
He put it on hold and then it ended up getting cut later by Justin Moore. So that was like, okay, we can take a chance on this guy. So I went to a meeting and saw some softball bats leaning up in the corner of this guy's office. And as I was walking out, I asked the lady, hey, where does he play softball? And she was like, oh, he plays over at Fieldstone Farms. So I was working on a box truck at the time, and I got an umpiring job at Fieldstone Farms, and I umpired for 2 years until he came there one night when I was umpiring. He's like, what are you doing out here? I was like, I'm hustling, dude. You're like, you ain't giving me no money to write, so I got to pay rent somehow. I was living in one of my buddies, it's a girl, but a girl's closet, basically, and paying rent doing that. And Reed would come and crash sometimes, and just trying to get in any way we could,
sure,
you know. And he was like, well, dang, you're hustling. He's like, you got some songs? And I said, yeah, I do. And he said, well, come see me, but let's get a day. And so I borrowed $750 from my granddad, RIP, Daddy Spud, you know, I love you, $500 from my sister, paid pizza to my band, cut a demo at Studio 19 with 6 songs. Sony held it for 9 months. And I would just keep my phone just charged, dude, 100% in my pocket. I mean, just every time it vibrated, I was praying it was them. And so finally they called back and were like, hey, man, we're ready to do something with you. And so I have kind of been there ever since. I mean, it's been 10 years I've been writing at Sony.
When they say do something with you, like sign you to a publishing deal?
Yeah.
And you kind of have they have the same kind of skeleton around you? I mean, I know people change, but are some of the people the same?
No.
It's almost
a completely different regime. There are some that are still there, I guess. Yeah, but and honestly, those first years were tough, you know, because like the guy that got me over there went somewhere else. And then I moved to another lady. And then she went somewhere else. So it really is going like full circle, I guess, back to what you were saying. Having having people in place to, you know, champion your songs is an extremely, extremely important thing.
What about, so you moved here after you left Knoxville?
Yeah, I left Knoxville.
And did you come right here or did you go home first?
No, I came. I went to MTSU and graduated. Did the RIM program. Actually, me and Hardy were there at the same time. Me and Mitchell Timpany were in a songwriting class together. And the first day of that class, they made us like sing an original song. And so I hadn't written a lot of songs at that point. I love singing. I've always loved singing. And so I actually went to Dan. I was like, "Hey, bro, what's the best song you got?" And he showed it to me. I learned it. Went into the class, sang that song.
Did you claim it was yours though?
Since
it was,
hell yeah,
got it, absolutely. Got it. So
and then
played it at the Bluebird as if it was his.
Yeah, it was like a co-write.
Intellectual property theft. It sounds like definitely.
And then Mitchell played, and after class he came up to me outside and was like, "Hey, bro, we were kind of like the only." And I'm sorry to anybody else who was in that class, but he was like, "Hey, bro, we're kind of the only ones that really knew what we were doing in there." And we started writing some songs. And then I moved from there. I graduated from there and then moved to, my dad brought his houseboat up and kept it at Percy Priest at the Cove. I think that's what it is. Right there, Elm Hill Marina, and lived there for 4 years and moved. Yeah. Same furniture company he worked for. I moved furniture and wrote when I could. And in my kind of, it was really never my dream. Like I always loved singing. So I knew I wanted to sing, but I didn't know in what capacity I wanted to. And so I kind of moved to town with, I guess, chasing the artist thing, you know, bunny ears, and quickly found out once I got my first pub deal in town and doing the artist development thing, I went on the road a few times and I was out playing one weekend and I called back home and Dan and my dad were at deer camp putting steaks on the grill. And that's the last gig I ever played on the road. And I was like, man, I love playing, but I hate the rest of it. I was miserable. And so I'd fallen in love with writing songs through those years, you know, trying to chasing that thing, and decided to jump the fence. And I was 50% on the artist thing, 50% trying to write songs. And I put all my eggs in the writing basket. And I remember the day I told Dan, he was like, "Bro, this is, it's not going to work." And I was like, "Yeah, Will, bro, I'm gonna do it, man."
Why did I don't remember saying this. Not
we were in Fire Hall, Room 5. We had just got done with the co-write.
When I told you weren't good?
And I looked at Dan, I was like, "Hey, man, I'm not doing the artist thing." And he was like, "What do you mean?" Because that was a plan. Like,
oh, no, I was saying you're not going to be getting the quality of rights that you're getting when you tell everybody you're not doing the artist thing.
Got it.
Because.
Bro, you don't have to.
They want to write with somebody who might have a song. Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah, for sure. But anyway.
Wait, I got a question. Hold on.
Go for it.
Pause. You lived on a boat for 4 years. What's it? Were you having to pay like slip rent?
Yeah, it was $400. So we split it. It was.
Oh, you both lived on the boat.
$200. Yeah. I was there first, and then Dan got out of the closet. My bad, bro.
Out of her closet.
My bad, bro.
You came out of her closet.
Dan came out of the closet and moved on the boat with us. And yeah, we paid $200 a piece. But dude, we had Wi-Fi there. I put an antenna up so we could have DirecTV.
It wasn't that bad until legit girlfriends started coming around. You know what I mean? Because like two dudes on a boat is not a bad scheme, but like when you have frozen sewage and a girlfriend over, it just
I used to tell people I lived there when I graduated. I moved onto the boat.
And, well, technically, once again, we didn't live there. We just visited 355 days.
But anyway,
355. So you
can be there every day except once. You can't claim residency. You have to just visit.
So, like for example, if I stay in California a bunch, which I don't, but if I were, because there were times when I was doing shows, or even Mike and I lived in California for a few months at a time, like doing TV shows. Mm-hmm. They were like, "Well, as long as you don't live here more than 6 months, you can claim residency everywhere else," which you wanted to because taxes are ridiculous.
Right.
But I never heard of 355 or whatever that, or 364.
I think he might. 364. I don't think he knows.
So if you're not there every day and you stay one more day somewhere else, you claim residency in the one day.
Yeah, well, you can't get mail there because technically you're not on land. So
you can't own it because it's.
Yeah, you can't own it because
Corps
of Engineer land and the state owns that lake, right? So you just visit a whole lot.
And every time you walk to the boat, you wink. Don't worry, guys. I'm just here visiting.
I'm just staying the week.
Just here. Yeah.
But so, no, I used to tell people, like, I used to tell, like, it was story. It was easy to say, "Hey, you know, I live on a boat when you're in college." They're like, "Oh, that's cool. Let's go hang out." But then, like, when 4 years later, when you're 27 and you still live on a boat moving furniture, it's not
so cool.
I had a legit mental breakdown on that, on that boat. Or panic attack, sorry. Panic attack. I had a legit panic attack on that boat.
What triggered it?
Lack of movement in my life.
And on the boat.
And, well, literally, I had gotten canceled. I was driving into town. It was raining, I remember. I got canceled, of course.
Oh, right.
Because nobody wanted to ride with me at all. I didn't even have a deal at the time. And so I was like, gosh, man. And I had this like little coupe, and what's it called?
Convertible?
Sunscreen. Sunroof. So it didn't work. Water's pouring in through the sunroof. I pull back up. I walk back to the boat, man. I'm just like defeated. All my buddies, I mean, not all my buddies, but I see people that are my age. At the time, I'm like 29, 30. They're like buying houses, buying new trucks. Check out my number one. You know, like, oh, this plaque's so cool. Look at all these things I get to go to. And I was just like,
man, I probably had taco salad made.
You were cooking.
I loved life on the boat.
You were down in the galley. Well, yeah, I was older, and it was.
Yeah, you're 4 years younger.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
In 4 years, you were going to have a panic attack.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Oh, I did.
Ironic you say that. So I was probably like,
what are we going to do tonight, bro?
I came in, and I was just like, and there's nowhere to hide, right? You're on a boat. It's like 50 square feet. So I was just like, oh, my gosh, I canceled them again. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Nobody cares about what I'm doing. I'm turning these songs in. Nobody gives a rip, dude. I got no artist friends. Why would anybody? I wouldn't want to write with me either, you know? So I was just like, hey, man. He's like, man, you want some of this crappie? Like, I'm down here frying crappie and got some corn, some Del Monte corn on. You want some? I was like, man, I'm good, dude. I'm just going to chill. And we had a couch that was kind of like a three-quarter couch. It wasn't like a full size, but you had a couch there. And I just – that was like my room was like the couch. So I just kind of pulled the covers over my head, and just as soon as my covers got over my head, I felt the boat go like, which means somebody was coming. It stepped
away. Yeah.
The tiny doors open, and my dad's like, hey, boys, I brought pork steaks. Who's ready to eat? And I was just like, oh, my gosh. Like, can I just – and he's like, hey – what are you doing? You know, just insult to injury, right? He's like, what are you doing? Why you got the covers over your head, Dan? It's 11 o'clock in the morning, man. What are you doing? And I was like, man, can I just, like, have a second? Like, and Reed was like, yeah, what's up, Dan? What, you know, we're all trying to, you know, hang out. And he was like, what's going on with you, Dan? And finally, I just come unglued and was like, I'll tell you what the fuck's happening. I'm 30 years old. I got nothing going on. All my buddies are buying their second trucks. I'm stuck on a houseboat with you cats eating crappie every 2 days. I'm exhausted. Nobody wants to ride with me. And I'm a little pissed off about it. And it was just like, it was legit the moment when I always go back to that because people are like, oh, yeah, you and Luke Combs just fell into your lap, didn't he? And you're like, no, man, there were some really, really, really hard days that earned me the spot that I have now, you know?
Or at least made you appreciate it even more.
Understand
how hard it is to get it.
Dude, and how precious it is. So yeah. Hard, man. And I mean, it even delays everything. It delays everything because you're so focused on having that thing work. Because it's like the padlock, right? Like, once you unlock a publishing deal and a hit song in your brain at the time, well, then you have enough money to support a family and to buy a place and to get married. And then you can have kids. And you know what I mean? It's like this whole effect, and Hardy and I and Reed and I were talking about that. It's almost like if you come into this thing and you're just running at it as hard as you can, it delays a lot of the other things in your life.
Yeah, because it's a sacrifice, first of all. I mean, even with me, I got married. I didn't get married until I was 40.
Right.
And I don't have any kids yet. You know, we're talking about now having kids. She's – good thing. I mean, she just turned 19, so that works for us.
Plenty of time.
No, that's legal, though. You could.
Yeah, I could.
If I would have said 17, that wouldn't have been – you shouldn't allow.
I could.
But she's 31, and so, we're talking about – but I'm stunted in a lot of my growth because I only focused on one thing and didn't get it forever.
That's what you have to do.
But had I stopped, I wouldn't have it now.
Right. No doubt.
And so – but to be good at anything, if it's a good parent, if it's a good writer, if it's a good – there is sacrifice because you could be mild at everything.
Yeah.
You could be good at some stuff and not good. But if you want to be great at something,
you got to put all your energy.
You're taking some energy out of other things to be great. Right.
So, yeah. So, and that's what, me as coming up, especially under knowing Dan or you know, being Dan's brother. And then we had Singleton above us, man. Like two examples of guys that were literally putting everything they had into this. And so same thing, man. I mean, it's just it takes time. It takes obviously a lot of effort. And at the same time, you got to make money. And you got to keep your head above water. Me literally keeping our head above water on living on a houseboat.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But you're right, Bobby. You got to give it your all for a long time. And there's still no guarantee that there's going to be a day when it works. So you got to be okay with giving it everything you've got. And at some point, it working or not working.
What jobs did you guys have here before you could quit and only pursue music?
What was Tim Hodges Logistics.
Yeah,
which was a fancy way of saying we worked on a moving truck and sweated like crazy in the back of that
moving
truck.
You can go like houses
furniture.
Yeah,
you can go to a couple of where do old people go for
nursing home.
I'm sorry.
They don't all go there. It's not like a requirement.
I'm just saying.
No, I think it is now.
Oh, is it?
We have a 5-star Michelin nursing home here. And anybody over 65 automatically gets put in.
But you can go to those awnings where you drive into those and you can see a couple of chunks of concrete out of them because of my driving skills of a box truck.
The Bobbycast. We'll be right back.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or you like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
TECOVAS.com.
TECOVAS. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, to take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only 6 numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833.
This is the Bobbycast.
You know, the only thing that I would compare to being an artist or, you know, just I was talking at ABC News came by because they'd been following Lainey for a while. And I was fortunate enough, and probably you guys too, I've known Lainey for a long time.
I had a cut on that first record.
Yeah. Sure. Even before she had music that was out. And Lainey came to the house once to teach me this thing before she... So I just have a relationship with Lainey. I put her... first time she played the Ryman, she played with
Blanco
me.
Blanco dance, right?
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
So I was telling them the story, and I was going into a bit of, like, you have to have the right people believe in you. You have to be good, and then you have to have the right people believe in you. And you got to be a little different to where it's almost uncomfortable. You need to have something about you that's so different that people will go... That's probably not going to work.
Because
when it does work, that's what differentiates you from everybody else, and that ends up being the thing.
And
dude, I talked about it yesterday, my co-write.
That gal has been was that from day.
That's what I was saying. Dude. She taught. The only thing now is that her clothes just cost more.
Yeah,
100%. But
same clothes.
Yeah, instead of going to the thrift store to get them, they're freaking Louis Vuitton now, and she's earned them.
It's always funny to me when people like they're like, "Oh, the accent's not real," and that.
Oh
like,
yeah, that's
you should have because we signed at Sony. I signed before her at the publishing deal right before she did at Sony, and first thing I thought of when I met Lainey was, "Oh my God, this chick's country," and like one of the country's chicks I've ever met in my life. And you're right, man. I mean, yeah, she hadn't changed one bit. She's Basque in Louisiana, man. That's who she is.
They always say, right through. Does she really talk like that? I'm like, if you met her mom, dude, her mom talks like that. They all talk like that.
Sister, they all do.
That is who she is, man. I was out with Luke this year, and Lainey was second or third on that thing. And, man, there were many times where I just, like, teared up just watching her just because she just – it just took on this whole other, like, existence, right? And now my four-year-old little girl, like – worships Lainey.
Yeah.
And it's so weird to me that's come that far around. But and she hugged her at a Luke show and stuff, and now that's all we listen to. I'm so tired of Lainey Wills. I can't wait for her to put new music out. But how cool is that to have a friend of mine be an example and a role model for my 4-year-old little girl, man? It's a really cool thing.
And also a very similar story to you guys, or a similar story to a lot of people, because again, back to art, a lot of people want to do art. Art doesn't pay. Unless you can prove that your art's going to make somebody else money first.
Very true.
And everybody wants to do it, so why would they pay a lot to do it if it's just going to be pretty good or mediocre until it's proven? And so the only thing that I would compare to songwriting or making that's terribly difficult, fun, but terribly difficult, is freaking podcasting. Because it's fun to do, but it's difficult to cut through. Because just like music, there are 5,000 people in this town that can play and sing and that has a cousin that works here that knows how to get you into that. With podcasting, it is a very similar world where there are a million podcasts.
Yeah.
First time I'm hearing this, but I agree. Yeah, I agree.
And the people that win aren't always the people that are the funniest or the people that can book the best guests.
Right.
It is like anything else in life. It's consistency, and it's being consistently good and occasionally great. Because if you're trying to be consistently great, you won't be.
You won't be.
You can't be consistently great.
At a moment.
Right.
Yeah, take advantage of the opportunity.
And I know, you know, with you guys' podcast, so where are we on this?
Well, it's new.
Yes, I know
it's
that. But
new,
where
new.
That's why I'm giving you guys the lecture.
No, I liked it. I was listening to everything you were saying.
So, but how many episodes have you guys recorded?
I don't know what. 16.
Okay, that's enough.
But then. We've had 4 come out.
Yeah, that's enough. If you've recorded 16, that's enough to kind of get the early gist of,
yeah.
Oh my God, we got to do another one.
For sure.
While loving it, like writing music. No doubt, oh my God, I don't want to go write again from 9 to 4.
Yeah. And also dealing with like the anxiety of like, well, this one's going to suck. You know, like on the way in town, you're like, well, I don't know what we're going to talk about because we talk about the same thing every time. But always, almost just like a co-write with those artists, like it usually always goes good, man.
If you show up.
And if you have decent people that you trust around you.
No doubt.
Where if you're – and I'm sure you guys can speak to this writing too, where if you're having a day where either it hasn't been a good day personally or your brain's just not right, you got a little brain fog, you can't think. If somebody else is in the room and they're able to pick you up because you've been able to pick other people up, like that's the same thing that happens here.
And I will say that we have an advantage because there's two of us. I don't know how you do it.
Amazing.
I mean, the good thing.
Always great. I'm the only one that is always great.
Oh, yeah. We know. That's why we're here. Be great today, please.
You're the only one wearing those baby Jordans.
Thank you.
Off-whites.
Hey, dude, when I got these, they were like $300. I think if you looked them up now, Mike, if you look up the North Carolina off-white Jordans, I bet you now, I was telling a friend how much these appreciate. I won't even say it. I want you to finish the story about podcasting.
I kind of know.
I kind of know, too, but I don't want to say
it. Okay,
Combs was probably jealous of those.
He's got some.
I was kind of setting you up to brag for me, but you didn't. You just said I kind of know and waited. So
I'll be we're happy, even.
No, we're good.
I'll be happy to say
what,
it.
What do you think the retail – it's not retail, but yeah, go ahead.
How much they're worth right now?
18?
I don't think 18.
I'd say 8.
I'd say 6 to 8,000.
Wait, 8,000? Yeah. Dollars for shoes?
I was saying 1,800.
Oh, Mike, what do you see?
I'm saying 800.
I'm saying the last sale was 1,800.
Well, not these.
Dude, come they're different.
Hold on.
Pay the man. We should have put those shoes on that bet.
Hold on. And they've depreciated again. And I suck.
Wait, you don't believe in your boy, right? You don't trust your boy right here?
No, obviously. I do. He is the fastest. But there are times where both of us will find something fast and then
let me tell you what you're doing right here. You're co-writing this.
Yeah.
So what?
Absolutely.
I have an idea for a book called Co-Write Your Life. And the whole point is that you can trust people.
Should have said that live, dude.
Nobody's gonna, if they rip it off now.
We'll bleep it out. Keep going.
Oh, that was kind of it. You just, as long as you have someone who
write the book for you.
Dude, yes. This guy puts words in my mouth.
Let's come up with an idea. Let somebody do that. Ghostwriter.
Yeah.
Here we go.
You just came up with a ghostwriter idea.
Can I leave?
Yeah, these, right?
What do you have? What? Yeah, probably. Are they off white?
Yeah, off white.
What are they now?
1800.
See, they're going up though. They've gone up $200 in the last time. Since last time we talked.
Pretty sure I said 1800, right?
We said 18.
Oh, crap.
Lee, man. Listen, you cannot.
They've gone down then. They were like $4,000 or $5,000. I thought they had gone up.
I got this redneck, old thrift store brain that you can't. I know how much things are worth.
I'll sell them to you for $3,000.
No.
What size are they?
He said you're tiny, so it probably wouldn't fit.
Bro, look.
They're probably too big for
me. I'm a 9.5, dog.
9.5.
Oh, man, really?
He don't even know.
Bobby, I will take you to.
No,
we can go to a court now, and I'll ball out on you with these boots.
It's no insult toward you. You're not to blame for your genetics.
I think.
How tall are you?
That's hilarious.
Should we stand up and try now?
He's taller than you think. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Because I saw you in L.A. when we were at the Grammys last year. And I was like, man, he's
taller. Was that working? Like doing the?
No, we stayed in the same hotel. We stayed in the same.
But why didn't you say hi?
I didn't. I don't know. You were like walking.
Look how nervous he is right now.
I was walking, so you didn't say hi? Like, we know all the same people.
Okay, let me say this.
And I would think and I would hope that they say nice things about me because the people that we know say nice things about you. And if I saw you, I would be like, what up?
Well, first off, it was my first gig.
Okay.
I had to tune a guitar, which I'm not a guitar tuner. For the Grammys, my first gig was was tuning the guitar for Luke to play.
What do you mean your first gig?
I went out on the road with Luke for a year as his guitar tech, as a star tech.
Were you riding as well?
Yes. Got that it. Was the whole
yes, sir. Got motive. It.
He knows that. This is not a secret.
Got it.
So, but I still had to get that son of a gun in tune for the Grammys.
I hear you.
And the first minute of the song is just him in acoustic. So, sorry if I might have been a little stressed out and not been like, Bobby.
To say hi?
Me. When I'm sure that happens to you all the time, dude. You're like
I'm a guitar tuner. I'm a big fan.
You're an international superstar.
No, it wouldn't even be about that. It would be about, hey, we have a bunch of the same friends.
Bro, you know you'd have been like, oh, cool, I'm out.
Yes.
That would have made for a funnier story.
I just hit my tooth with this microphone, dude. This is stupid.
Is
why don't
Bobo.
I have a legit mic, Mike?
It's Bobo in here.
Because I wanted that to happen.
Headphones. Big
I
got brother came in and dicked out. Now you got to get a crown
a bill for
on
that
your
tooth.
Freaking tooth.
Yeah. We should have done it at our studio, dude. This place is Bobo.
Dude, he's got a sim in his place.
I'm just kidding. This place is sick, dude.
I don't even know what Bobo means. I'm just looking at you to fill the gap.
That's like
an
old Mississippi term of...
I don't know Bobo.
Like janky. You know what janky means?
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I had to take a step down to come do this.
It's not like we didn't walk past the infinity pool.
The infinity pool is sick, dude.
Thanks,
I like the dog.
Thanks, man. What dog?
Dog bridge.
Dude,
that is – so you guys – you know why you like it? Because you grew up hillbillies like I did. Now, we bought this house. There was nowhere for our dogs to go out. Because
it's smart.
And because there's a pool, and I don't want the dog drowning. We have a bulldog. I'm not worried about Eller because she's like 13 different dogs, and they lived forever. No but the doubt. Bulldog will drown.
Yep. Yep.
So we can't let them come into the yard. There was no way to get them from the house to the side yard. So you know what we did? We drew on a napkin, that bridge, with plywood, and they came out, and they built the freaking bridge.
That's sick.
And then we've painted. So that's literally what we did.
I mean,
we cut a hole in the garage.
You should patent that. That's.
I didn't invent the bridge. That's been around for a while.
You invented the bridge.
Dog, you invented the dog bridge, though. You invented that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm just looking for ways to make separate streams.
Trust me. I feel you.
Let's take a quick pause for a message from our sponsor. Welcome back to the Bobbycast.
Why did you guys start doing a podcast together? Like, what was the motivation other than you think you have a lot of stories to tell?
We had one. We started the Brothers Hunt, actually, on the front porch of our deer camp.
Maybe you should explain the difference between the podcast and what the Brothers Hunt is.
Well, the Brothers Hunt was just a brand thing that we started back in the day. And we were literally sitting on a 2x4 front porch of our fifth wheel deer camp down in West Tennessee. And it kind of started where we were going out west and doing these hunts and these cool things, and our dad couldn't go, so we started filming them to come back and show him. And then we started showing our buddies, and they were like, dude, this is kind of great content, man. So we kind of started the Brothers Hunt, the brand, and started putting videos online and YouTube and going to all these places and filming. And
were you guys monetizing that at all?
No, dude. We didn't know what we were doing.
No.
Yeah. So you were doing it for fun, a passion project.
Absolutely.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it turned into where we started people around town. We were writing in town while this was going on, and our co-writers and artists and buddies started seeing us as the Brothers Hunt. And then so we made a sweatshirt, and the sweatshirt kind of took off, and we made more sweatshirts, and then they were like, we should do a podcast. So then we literally did a Brothers Hunt podcast for – we did like 10 or 12 episodes, and it was just so much work, and I didn't know what we were doing. I was doing what Mike was doing, except a way worse job than this, and it was a headache, bro.
We're trying to balance the
– sure.
The recording of it, the booking of the person there, the content, and then – getting it out and getting it. I mean, it was just.
As well as trying to write songs and trying to get, like get the first cut, you know. I mean, which we were talking about earlier. Like, we had a lot of energy going toward this thing instead of going toward the songwriting thing. And I just met Jordan a little bit later, and it was just, there was too many things to balance. So we just kind of kicked it off and kind of took a break. And I honestly thought, we didn't really know what to do with the Brothers Hunt. And I honestly thought it was going to kind of go away, and we might sell a sweatshirt.
Which would have been fine, honestly.
We were okay with that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we end up going. Luke calls us and says he wants us to go on this meat eater episode where we go hunt antelope with Steve and those guys out in Wyoming. We went and we did the podcast with Steve, and we talked about country music the whole time, and Steve was just enthralled by it, and his listeners loved it. And then he comes up with the idea of, hey, what if we do this? And this is 3 or 4 years down the road now. Comes up with the idea of, what if we do this country music outdoor podcast, and calls Luke, and Luke's like, well, I know the only people in town that can do that are these guys. And that's kind of, I mean, dude, we weren't expecting it. We weren't looking for it. It just kind of was presented to us.
The Meat Eater is an outdoor lifestyle brand, mm-hmm. too. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's like, it's kind of the same. It's kind of like the Western version of what we are, which what we are is essentially trying to paint hunting the way that we in fishing and the outdoor lifestyle, the way we were brought up in it, which is mega respect. If you're going to take an animal, you use every part of it, you know, and so it was kind of just a lifestyle brand for us that translated into a media brand. And so we're obviously plugged in with a lot of these artists and a lot of the writers. And I will go on record saying, I think songwriters are arguably the coolest people in the world, especially and most interesting.
You're a songwriter, though. That would be like me saying, I think left-handed people are the smartest freaking people ever.
It's kind of a backhanded compliment about himself, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Right, you know what?
I'll go on record and say artists are the coolest people in the world. So
that's what but they are songwriters.
But
that's you, though.
But you just literally gave a compliment to yourself.
Okay, let me see.
Hold him to the fire, Bobby. Let's go, dude.
Yeah, we'll wait for you.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah, no, you're good.
I'm just saying, okay, maybe I should say, to me, music industry people are the coolest people in the world to interview.
Why?
Because of the stories, right? Because their entire existence is built on storytelling. So whether you want them to or not, there's going to be interesting things that come out of an hour and a half conversation. And a lot of them do share the same interests that we do. We had Colby Calais on there yesterday. And she's not a hunter. She doesn't fish, really. You know, but she likes outdoors, and she likes to go shoot skeet, and she likes to do these other things. And I was so nervous coming into that thing. I was like, dude, what am I going to – how are we going to relate? And it just flowed, and it was effortless, and she's so cool, and she's like the greatest singer of all time. And it was just – it was easy, you know, because those people, besides just being extremely talented, they're also interesting and have interesting.
Yeah, I think creatives are interesting because you got to be messed up to pursue it. Like there's got to be something a little off, or sure. You're completely naive.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think both happened to me. Right, I came from a place where nobody did anything like this, and something's a little off. So I didn't know,
yeah.
And also it's like, why can't I do it? And let's, and so I think that the creatives just in general, like if you got to just create something out of nowhere, lyrics, melody, you got to paint a picture.
Right.
You gotta, like that is a special trait that if you do it over time and you refine it, you've probably done it a lot of time, refining it, not making any money and really struggling.
Did you find yourself when you were growing up in Arkansas, like, did you see this? Did you kind of know this was going to happen?
Absolutely. It doesn't even happen as big as I think it's going to happen.
Same.
Like, if I didn't believe in me, nobody else would, because nobody believed in anything where I was from.
Right. We were the same.
Yeah, there wasn't belief in being able to do anything, because you were just trying to survive. Like, you didn't have dreams.
Right. You didn't have time to believe
it. Yeah, it was.
You had to get to
work. You just got to make money.
Got to go to the mill.
Got to provide for your family.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I always felt like, and I still do. I literally can do, if I want to be president of the United States, I feel like I can go be president of the United States.
Amen, bro.
Okay.
And I feel like if I do, I'm going to have some trouble at first, and it's going to be hard, and it should be, but nothing's ever come easy. But also, I think my God-gifted talent, which I hate being called talented because I feel like I've earned it all, my talent is tenacity, which is I just don't stop. And it sucks sometimes, and that's okay, but you just don't stop.
Right.
And I think that itself is so valuable.
It is. Because, extremely valuable.
Yeah. I mean, that, it, to me, and it, consistency and tenacity.
Totally. You mix in a little talent in there, and you can be something.
Man, if I had that part, I'd have it all freaking figured out.
I tell people all the time, like, it feels like when I moved to town, and I say Mitchell because we moved to town at the same time, we graduated at the same time, the guys that are working now that are successful in the music industry are the ones that didn't move home and didn't stop. And you can see it across the board with Lainey, with Mitchell, I'll throw me in that category. Like, we're all on our come up because of what you're talking about. There is no, and people say, you can't have a second option. You can't, this is what you got to do. And you got to do it till you either fall over dead or you make it.
You can have other things that you do to support it. Meaning, sure. If you gotta got to go work.
I think you kind
of
have to.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes people be like, well, that's plan B. No. That's a prop up of what you're propping yourself up so you can still accomplish it.
Keeping your mouth.
And I think most, and even the most successful people I know have been really bad at things that they're really good at now.
Mm-hmm. I remember a guy told me, I saw his mom somewhere, and I said, hey, how's so-and-so doing? And she said, oh, he's doing really good. He wants to become an author. And I was like, oh, man, that's awesome. I said, so what happened? And she said, is he writing while he's work? Because he was like a bellhop or something for a while. I said, is he writing while he's working at the hotel? She was like, no, he quit that. And I was like, he quit that? She was like, yeah. I was like, why? And she was like, well, he wants to devote all his time to writing. And I'm like, yeah, that's not functional. Like,
that's not sustainable.
It's not
like
sustainable.
Like, his life will not
be
sustainable.
Right. No, yeah. Man. And if you can ever, a lot of it is about buying time too, right? Like, stay like having enough the word shouldn't be success, but having enough action to keep you in town long enough to learn the craft in order to be great at it from other people who are great at it, right? So I attribute what I know about songwriting to the guys that I learned it from, which were Jason Matthews, Casey Beathard, Michael Heaney. I mean feel like I'm not naming them all. I should name
like
them
like an
all.
Award speech whenever you didn't mention your wife. Thank you for this Grammy. I like, so don't worry about that.
Thanks to my label.
God, and you get back, you're like, God dang it.
I didn't say anything.
I didn't mention my wife or my mom.
Yeah.
Let me thank Jesus.
And those guys would tell the same struggle story and talk about the guys that they learned from.
Sure.
It is a never-ending cycle. The people who win are the people that stay in, good, bad, especially if you don't come from like crazy rich means.
For sure.
Listen, if you,
that's an outlier.
That's a you come from a bunch of money. You, I want to like music. Okay,
right.
Good. However, most people aren't like that, and the winners are those that just stay in the game and don't win for a long time.
We got to shout out Jonathan, though, because I feel like Singleton was the IV drip that kept us like kind of alive in the worst times, whether that was sleeping on his couch or he would just – happened to buy pizza for all of us,
yeah.
And then we would take the leftovers to the boat. You know, or
that's awesome.
Here's $5 or $10, man. Get you some gas to get home.
Do you guys have and feel the need to make sure that you find the people to do that to now?
1,000,000%. Yeah, I mean, I've even started signing a couple riders just because I feel like I got to do something for somebody else who wants to do the same thing as I did.
Yeah,
and I mean, you've done that too.
Because you know how hard it is. And you just need somebody to believe in you.
It's the hardest.
Yeah, and you need somebody to open some of those doors, yeah. Man.
You can't.
Some of those doors are so heavy when you get to town that you can't get them open yourself.
Especially at your size.
Bro, can you imagine trying to open
nine and a half?
One of these rich ass doors on one of these publishing houses? There's no way.
Yeah, Mike had to open the one just to get us in this.
Bro, bring some weights in here and let's see who can throw them up. We'll do it.
We were, before we started the podcast, before you guys came in, we were just talking about a lot of you guys' songwriting success and talking about the podcast. We've set it all up before we started. I guess now that you've recorded 16, but you have four out, it's called God's Country.
Yeah.
Do you ever go back and listen to one of those first episodes? And this is the last little tidbit I'll leave you with. Do you ever go back and listen to those first
episodes? Wait, are we done? Are we ending?
We're about to be. Have we done an hour?
That is something about podcasting that blows my mind.
An hour?
When you're listening to them, an hour kind of seems like. But when you're in them, it goes by so fast.
Unless it's somebody who's not good at being interviewed and it goes by like
this. Well, then you don't even air it. You don't even air that episode.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Man, I don't listen to... Because I'm my own worst critic.
Okay, fair, love it, cool. When you do, you're gonna hate it.
No doubt.
And you should hate it, just like you should hate the first songs you wrote.
Yeah.
Because if you didn't, you wouldn't be getting any better. And so for me, same deal, right? Like I try not to listen to me a lot, but sometimes I have to listen to me back just to be cringing so I feel good about myself because I know I've gotten better. Like it's almost like medicine. I gotta go take this medicine that tastes bad, but I know it's gonna make me better.
Yeah.
So I can listen to something a year ago, 5 years ago, and be like, God dang, I suck. I didn't suck, but but since then I've, you know, accumulated some skills and some abilities, some that make that seem bad. And you guys will go through this now with podcasting. Because you'll hear it back and go, God, we sucked. But if you didn't do that, that means you wouldn't be getting any better.
I kind of did that on the Josh Thompson episode. We were interrupting each other so much.
And the fact that you could hear that shows growth. That you even know that.
But he's still doing it, so he didn't really grow.
Okay, you just did it right then.
You just did it as I'm talking. You just did it. And I think headphones helps with that. Because right now we're doing one with
headphones. Sitting 6 inches from your brother.
I know,
but it what it's making me do is get GTFO of when you start talking.
But I'm the host. And if you didn't, I'd push you out of the way.
Well, good luck with that. But I'm just saying, in our podcast, we tend to step over each other a whole lot.
Or how about this option?
How about you just did it again?
Yeah.
Because what I'm about to say is funnier. Yeah. We give our guest one set of headphones and not the other one, so the other one doesn't really even know what's
going on. This has all been a mental thing. It's been a psychological test anyway.
It was a test anyway.
ACT. We haven't even recorded this. This has all been a test on you.
We haven't even started. Can we start?
Yeah. No, I don't want to start.
Now I'm ready.
We're not going to air it. So just like he said, we're not going to air it. Okay, let me say this. You guys check out God's Country Podcast. You guys writing every 4 days a week?
Yeah.
3 to 4?
3 to 4.
How booked is your calendar out?
A few months.
Wait, for what? For
to write.
Oh, yeah. I mean, March.
Yeah, congrats.
Thank you.
You worked hard.
Yeah.
Like you should be tired. It's a medal to be able to be exhausted doing something you love.
Get you some of that kid life, bro. Then you'll get to a whole nother level of tired that you...
Are you coming on to me?
No, I'm not.
You guys having kids?
Your 19-year-old wife might be later, but...
look, I like you guys. I'd have liked you better if you'd have said hi to me at the Grammys, but...
Next time.
It is what it is.
Yeah, it is.
You had a guitar to tune. You had six strings of glory to make sure they were perfectly...
And they were, baby.
And they were.
They were in.
You guys have it. There's no definitive what it is in the same of artistry. Like, you guys will do a good podcast if you stick with it because you have it.
Thank you.
Your brothers already trust each other, and if one of you screws up, the other one just gets pissed and punches you, and then you're still brothers.
Yeah.
Which is a different dynamic than if you're just with a partner, somebody doing a podcast.
Yeah.
And you're also funny, and you also come from a place that a lot of people come from that don't have a lot of representation in this space. There's some, and it's growing. But I really think you guys are onto something
really
cool.
Thank you for saying that.
See, and that means more to me than going back and listening to an episode and thinking that I suck.
But you should.
But I need to hear those things from especially guys like you that are proven. I mean, like, you've done this. You've made it your career.
$6,000 shoes.
I ain't even going to get closer than what I am to them right now.
1800.
Infinity pool. I'm just saying.
Yeah. 1800,
I'm just saying,
right?
I appreciate you saying that because coming from a guy like in a position that you are, that means the world to guys that are just starting off.
Yeah, we don't know what we're doing.
We don't know what we're doing.
Nobody ever does.
Right.
It's like songwriting. When someone would tell you, we don't know what we're doing. We just nobody ever has it figured out. And if they say they do, they're lying. And it took me a long time. It took me to figuring it out to realize nobody actually has figured it out.
Okay, I'll trust you on that. Here's what I'm having trouble with. How do you line up a guest to where it doesn't end up being the same, like, program?
I think for you, it feels like that because you're doing it every time. Eventually, you're going to realize it's not the same.
Oh.
It probably feels like that.
It does feel
like that. I mean, it's like writing a song and going, verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, out. And you're like, well, every freaking song is the same. But to somebody who's not in the middle of writing a song or doing a podcast, it doesn't feel exactly the same. So don't let that get in your head. It's going to be the same way as like, oh, here's the freaking formula to write a song.
Yeah.
You know, what? Verse, chorus, bridge. And then you should be solo. Yeah. You know, same thing.
Okay.
So as long as the person that you're talking with, or even if it's just you two guys, as long as you have something to talk about that you feel, it doesn't have to be fresh. It just needs to be timely.
Yeah.
You're good. Don't get yourself in that habit, because then you'll be trying to do all kind of crazy stuff.
I know. I don't want to get to wacky town.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want
to. Ooga.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was loud, too.
Yeah. I like you guys. Yeah.
Thanks, man. We like you.
Was this like a tryout?
You're actually going to get canceled.
If this was an ACT.
22.
Okay. I'll take it. That'll get me into college.
Yeah. It's your first time taking it, though. You're like ninth
grade.
Oh, yeah.
JUCO.
Like ninth grade, 22 is what we call this.
We'll come back.
Next time, you'll be in 10th grade. You'll go to high school with the big boys.
Yeah, yeah.
Your episodes, the four you've had out, who's been on?
Josh Thompson, Hardy, Ben Hayslip,
Dustin
Lynch.
And who? Give me a couple coming up.
Who's next?
Casey Beathard's next.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan Singleton.
Trainee Anderson.
Singleton's coming on.
We have Luke on.
We got Combs coming. Colby Calais, which is super cool.
Yeah.
Who else?
Walker Hayes
is going to do it.
That's cool.
Drake White. Yeah.
Yeah, good for you guys. It's awesome.
Great dudes. Great guys and girls. We love them all.
Not all of them, but most of them.
I love all of them.
Yeah, I do too.
So far.
Yeah, because they did your show.
Correct.
Yeah, I felt that too.
It's also just really just a ploy to get songs cut. Like this. It's just a scam.
Okay, look, right? I agree completely. Listen to this. This is the last thing I'm going to say, because I'm way over. I have a meeting. I'm 7 minutes late for it. No, I'm happy to be late for that to finish this, because I feel like this kind of moment is precious to me, because I really enjoy what you guys are doing and I enjoy hanging out with you guys.
Thank you.
When you say, what were you just saying?
He said it's all a scam.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, yeah, the scam.
This podcast has created so many positive relationships for me in my life, because whenever... Because you're not going to say hi to me at a freaking hotel or the Grammys.
Nope.
Right? If I were to see you at the store.
Now?
Yeah.
I'm hugging you.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah. You got that germ thing, but I'm still going to hug
you. No, it's okay.
Okay.
You looks like you have so many germs that we cancel each other out, then we'd be good.
You're a germaphobe?
Look at him. So
he's gross.
Yeah. My point is.
He's a danophobe.
This is an intimate thing.
Yeah, it
for
is.
For sure.
And there's a bit of trust, just like you're writing a song with somebody, they're going to have your back if you don't have it. And after you complete this, you leave the room going, dang, I feel pretty close to that person. I've seen people out that I haven't seen forever, but I did a podcast with them, and it's just like, what? You're going to make so many great relationships or forge the ones that you have even stronger that it's going to feel like a scam.
Yeah, it feels scammy.
Yeah, but as long
scammy,
as
people— Well, scammy
imposter,
Kershaw,
imposter
baby.
Syndrome.
Scammy
whole,
Kershaw.
Whole, oh, yeah, you're just going to—
If cops walked in right now, I'd be like, you got me. Take me to jail.
I'm the biggest imposter of them all.
So, no, I don't— yeah,
right.
I got 100.
We're faking everybody. Up. Fake a team,
but you know who the coolest people in the world are? Writers.
I agree.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate you guys. You guys go, as we mentioned earlier, the God's Country podcast. Go follow it, but go check it out. These guys are funny. They're great. If you didn't already have a deal, like a podcast deal, I would sign you to my podcast network for
thank
sure.
You. Well, you can always be bought. Yeah, or sell out.
Offer us more money. We're good.
It's not. It's called
really just
one. No, it's called capitalism. Oh, it's not sellout. Yeah, it's right. Called capitalism.
We got kids.
Exactly.
We got to feed them.
You guys go follow at the God's Country Podcast. Appreciate you guys coming by.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Great.
Thanks for listening to a Bobbycast production.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines. Plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines. All on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.